We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Guilty as Charged podcast. My name is Steven, and I am the host, as always. And joining me is my guy, Tyler. Tyler, what's up, man? How are you doing tonight?
Well, I got a whole different setup right now. I forgot my webcam, but good news for the schools. We might be getting a weekly news thing, so that's great. The bad news is I forgot the webcam, so I think I'm currently at a Dutch angle, looking like Thor 1 with Kenneth Branagh directing. And luckily, a lot to talk about. Hopefully the news and the stories can distract you from my current situation.
Yeah, so apologies to the audio audience here. The audio is going to be a little uneven tonight, but, you know, it is what it is. We roll with the punches and we figure it out. So lots to get to today as the Chargers roster construction has really officially gone underway for the 2024 season. We've had three official signings today, had a release, had a restructure. So we're going to talk about all of that today. Before we get started, we have some little good podcast news. Prize Picks has renewed their deal with Blue Wire and with us specifically. So you guys will be hearing ads and the words Prize Picks throughout the whole rest of the next year. So we got March Madness coming up, NBA games. I don't know if you can use Pro Day props like you could for the Combine, but if you kept on using Prize Picks, hopefully you earned a lot of free money during the Combine, because there were some ridiculously low numbers on Prize Picks. Like, I think Xavier Worthy's over under was like 4.45. And so that was like an easy decision there. So hopefully you guys continue to use Prize Picks. The code GUILTY is still the same at checkout for a deposit match up to $100. And it's good for NBA, March Madness, all that good stuff. So shout out to Prize Picks. We're very happy to have them back. That being said, there's a lot to get into today in terms of free agency news. We knew this day was coming. I don't think anybody was necessarily surprised by Mike Williams getting released, and we'll start there specifically. I know it wasn't always perfect in terms of like how he developed and how he was paid and the injuries and things like that. But Tyler, I want to kind of do like a post-mortem here. That sounds so dire, but you know what I mean? I want to just kind of look back at the good times regarding Mike Williams, because we've talked a lot about, like, you know, the cap and like the needs and things like that. But we knew Mike Williams was not going to be on the Chargers, you know, not knew with 100% certainty, but we kind of figured, right? So looking back on things, how will you remember Mike Williams and his legacy with the Chargers?
Yeah, I tweeted about it today. I will always respect and love him as a Chargers fan for what he did for Phillip Rivers in his final season, where Rivers, it was just prayer ball after prayer ball. There was nothing about it that was new passing. It wasn't exactly Herbert when he stepped in. There was, we knew it was over. and I felt like it was ending. An era was ending. And Mike Williams went up and got every ball that season for Phillip Rivers, as he had, and as he has since. But in that particular year, just remember watching every underthrown, poor pass, generally bad decision by Rivers, almost get rewarded every time because Mike Williams went up and got it. And that's really where he became that 80-20 guy. And I'll always remember him really for the plays that he was able to make. Of course, for Phillip Rivers and also for Justin Herbert. We were all at the game against the Rams, and Arjun was with us on New Year's Day. And Mike Williams made that catch on the sideline, and we just all looked at each other like, how's that even possible?
One hand.
And yeah. And listen, I've had season tickets, you know, before him, but since he's been a Charger, and every single time, it doesn't matter, he somehow finds a way to surprise us. And I've always admired how tough he is, sometimes to the detriment of his own body. I mean, there are days where he should not be playing, but he wills himself out there. I remember against the Raiders, I believe, or maybe it was the Chiefs, he played, he was barely supposed to play that week, but he got out there and he only got like one catch and he only played five reps, but he got out there. Like, he fought to get out there and help his team. So I'll always remember that. Of course, I'll remember Arrowhead, the at Arrowhead thing for the past few years has been truly magical. It's an automatic, you know, 6-7 catches, 100 yards, a touchdown. He was awesome. So it's unfortunate that the draft pick status is kind of an anchor to the legacy, if you will.
Yeah.
Because he was never able to live up to that number 7 overall selection. But that's not how I'm going to remember him. I'm going to remember him for all the good things that he did for the quarterbacks, for the Chargers, and for the fans.
Yeah, I think, you know, the draft pick selection, did he live up to that selection? Maybe not necessarily. I think you could argue that in today's NFL, you know, getting a top 20-ish wide receiver out of a first-round pick is still good value for your franchise. But you know, I think with Mike Williams, he always seemed to have his best games in the biggest moments, right? And it was always, you know, the New Orleans catch, you know, where he is levitating over two defensive backs and just comes down with this absurd catch. You know, that Denver Broncos game where he kind of slips at the off of the release and Phillip Rivers still chucked that ball to him, and because he knew Mike Williams was going to catch that ball. And you know, even a guy like Tyrod Taylor had just the utmost trust for throwing the football to Mike Williams. And you talked about playing injured, right? Like that week one against Cincinnati, I remember all the Mike Williams talk, and people were like, oh, like Keenan Allen's wide receiver too now, because Tyrod just peppered Mike Williams with like three or four go balls. And he wasn't even supposed to play in that game. He had an AC joint sprain. He was doubtful to play, and he gutted it out and still was able to have an impact on the game. And all of these quarterbacks knew, whether it was those three, whether it was Easton Stick, they all knew, right? Like, if Mike Williams is out there and the play calls for it, like, I'm going to chuck it up and Mike Williams is going to go make a play. You know, the Titans game stands out as another one where the offense was just completely stuck in the mud all day long against the Tennessee Titans defense, as it usually was. Couple go balls to Mike Williams and the Chargers are back in track, game-winning field goal, and they're ready to rock. So, again, I understand, like, there's a very like heartless nature to these kind of decisions. And yeah, you could argue that Mike Williams didn't live up to the number 7 overall pick. Yeah, you could argue that the contract value maybe was a little bit too rich. But when you look at what Mike Williams was able to do on the field for the Chargers and off the field as well, I mean, the team posted a great collection of clips today of just who he is as a person. But when he was on the field, man, like, you always knew what you could count on Mike Williams. And I know that there's a lot of like blame about how things went, but man, like, I truly believe that if he doesn't get hurt in week 3, that he was going to be on pace for a career season. And the one thing that I will always remember fondly of the Kellen Moore experience was how he was able to, you know, expand the wide receiver roles, both Keenan Allen and Mike Williams here. So it sucks how it ended, man, but Mike Williams had, like, if you really think about like your 10 favorite moments of the last 6-7 years of Chargers football, 6 of them are probably Mike Williams catches. Like, this guy has been a pillar of Chargers football since they moved to Los Angeles. So it's going to be weird, man. There's going to be a lot of changes to the Chargers, and this is part of the business, right? But the human nature side of things is like, you know, Mike Williams, I know there was a report out there, but Mike Williams is probably not going to be on the Chargers in 2024. And it's just going to be a little weird not to see 81 and 13 trotting out there together at the same time on week one.
Yeah, I mean, been a long time. 2017, you know, obviously further back for Keenan Allen, but 2017 is a whole move ago, two coaches ago, stadiums ago. It's been a while since 2017 when they drafted him. I had a kid walk into my class at the end of school today, and he holds up his phone, and it's, you know, the Mike Williams release news. And he's like, "What happened, Mr. Shoon? What happened?" And he's a Chargers fan. So there's 15 of us now. And I was trying to explain to him, like, oh, cap situations and cost and his injury and stuff like that. And I could tell, like, it just wasn't really – that's not what he was really asking, and that's not what he really cared about. And then I kind of just shut up after a while, and he goes, "That was my favorite player." You know, he just meant so much to a lot of fans, and clearly this fan, Carson, if you're watching, hello. Meant a lot to the fan base, exciting player. I could see why this was his favorite player.
Yeah. Yeah. So obviously the Chargers needs will come back into fruition here. We've talked a lot about taking a wide receiver in the first round. Where are you at right now with how this team goes about replacing Mike Williams?
That's still tricky for me. I'm still in the trade back area situation sort of thing, depending on who's there at five, of course. If, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. is there and you stay, maybe I think you trade back to 11 still and work things out the rest of the way. My curiosity for this whole thing is, are you replacing Mike Williams or are you getting another receiver or are you upgrading a receiver? Is it a different receiver? So if you're looking to replace Mike Williams, that indicates one player, one kind of, you know, draft pick. If you're looking to be different, perhaps, not to say Mike Williams wasn't, but more modernized, less jump ball guy, more maybe smaller, twitchy, faster yak guys, then that you go a different way. It doesn't really change anything for me right now, though, because this was the most expected of the big four. Yeah. Like, if I had to pick one of them to put $100 on, it was releasing Mike Williams. So it doesn't really change anything for me. I think it's in play at five. It's in play at 11 if someone falls. And it's in play in the second round. And it also just depends on what you feel about Quentin Johnston.
Yeah, I don't think the Chargers lack size in the wide receiver room. So I think they are going to kind of committee the X receiver, if you will. Like, they're not going to have that same kind of vertical boundary jump ball presence. I do think that they need something different. And obviously, as Anthony points out, there could be a Marvin Harrison Jr. thing, and that is probably the most natural possible transition from Mike Williams to Marvin Harrison Jr. in terms of an X wide receiver. You obviously have Romo Dunze as well. But, you know, you have Keenan Allen presumably for the next season. We'll see what happens there. Obviously, this releasing Mike Williams indicates that Keenan Allen is safe. I never doubt otherwise. I believe that he was never going to really be an option for a cut or a release or a trade or anything like that personally. So you have Keenan in his usual role, maybe not as many targets because Jamar is going to run the football more, but usual role. You have Quentin and Josh Palmer who can kind of do similar things, you know, in terms of the parts of the field that they can access, you know, with short area stuff, intermediate, vertical. I think you need somebody different in that room. And, you know, I think that's a true speed threat, a true yak threat. Like, that's what this room has been missing for ages. And hopefully Quentin can provide a boost there too. So I still, like, my preference is still that the first round is dedicated to adding a weapon to the offense, whether that's Brock Bowers or one of the receivers. Mm. That's been my preference all along. And that has not changed. So, you know, I think we can address that further later on. But from a cap standpoint here, releasing Mike Williams as well as Andrew Traynor and the corner whose name I never learned and I'm not going to try to say respectfully, those three releases get the Chargers cap compliant. The next big news here is obviously Khalil Mack and his not return because he didn't leave anywhere, right? But he is sticking around in 2024, according to Adam Schefter, on a restructure of sorts. So Khalil Mack, just to clarify here, he is a free agent after this upcoming season. So the Chargers have a couple of options here if they're going to push money into the future. The first is to extend him all around, and you add another year, maybe two, or whatever the case may be, and you're actually like giving him more money in the future. The other thing that they can do here is add void years to his contract. So essentially, he would still remain a 2025 free agent, but you would take on dead money charges over the next year or 2 years or whatever the case may be. Technically speaking, they could also ask him for a pay cut. That's not happening. Khalil Mack just had 17 and a half sacks. Like, that 100%, I believe, is not on the table. I think the bigger piece of news maybe here is that this decision probably indicates that Joey Bosa is not going to be on the Chargers going forward. What's your thought there, Tyler?
Yeah, I still lean that is the case. And that was, it's still a tough one because I think everyone is looking at not Joey Bosa of old, but Joey Bosa with Harbaugh, with Mincer, with Ben Herbert, and what he could be, because this is a top five edge rusher when he's healthy, but he's just not. But I do think that unlike Mike Williams is a top 20 guy, maybe top 15 at his peak, but Bosa and his particular edge rusher, it could be top five. So I'm still unsure. I can't lean. I'm not as sure as like Mike Williams being cut and Keenan staying. But yeah, I do think he is still going to be moved on from in some capacity. Obviously, since he's not currently gone, that indicates that maybe there is some potential trade there, or they're holding out for as long as possible until Friday at whatever the deadline time is,
yeah,
before the bonus kicks in. So maybe they are still holding out from some hope there, but I do also believe he's gone. I think much like Mike Williams, though, like very talented, good player, great when healthy, rarely healthy, missed far too much time, far too expensive. It's a tough choice. You know, it doesn't even save them a ton when they do release him or trade him, but they got to do it. They got to get healthier. They don't even say younger, but they got to get healthier. Don't even know if they can get better, but they need someone available. And frankly, at this point, you got to let Tuli rock. He's 21. He's your starting edge. He is a starting edge. And if Khalil Mack is your other starting edge, you therefore have your two starting edges, and you can't pay $30 million to your edge three. So you got to figure out what you have in Tuli, which I do believe is a phenomenal edge one moving forward, maybe like in 2025. But I do still believe he's gone.
Yeah, I think with Joey as young as here, why is Bosa still around? There can't be anything new the new staff has seen from him to think he can lead the defense. He's never healthy and doesn't seem to want to be here, but glad Mac is back. Joey Bosa wants to be in Los Angeles. He doesn't want to leave. He's not choosing to be injured. I understand that, you know, there are concerns about his health and things like that, but he wants to be in Los Angeles. He doesn't like to move. He hates change, and he wants to continue to see this thing out. You know, I totally understand like fans' concerns here in terms of like who he is, but I've always felt like Joey gets a bad rap for his character when he's shown nothing but love to the franchise and is able to continue to play through injuries when possible. But at the end of the day, this is a business, and this is a guy who hasn't been available for them. And this is a guy who I think is easier to move on from than Khalil Mack, because you can't keep both. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a decision where you have to move on from two of the big four. They already moved on from Mike Williams. So the next natural position to choose is edge rusher. And they essentially just chose Khalil Mack. So I totally get the frustration. I'm pretty confident that Joey Bosa is going to be on a different team by Friday. So that's kind of like the next deadline here, is that he is due a roster bonus if he is on the roster as of Friday. So that's kind of the next step in line here, is to decide what you're doing with Joey Bosa. We've gotten a couple of questions about like pre-June 1, post-June 1. If you designate him as a post June 1 candidate, then you get more savings for sure, but you don't get those savings until June 1st. So it really is you're cutting or trading him on by Friday, and you're taking the dead money cap this year, you're taking the larger cap savings next year, and you're essentially kind of moving on.
My only holdup with all of this and all the question marks is that, okay, so Mike Williams gone, you're cap compliant. And now Khalil Mack, there's some sort of thing that's altering his contract. We don't really know yet, but there's some altering that'll save them money in 2024.
Yeah.
Like how, I mean, how much has been saved? How much do they have? Obviously, they've signed some other guys.
Yeah.
So they're like 10-ish million that they had to figure out. But like, if Keenan gets an extension, like, how workable is it to keep Joey Bosa around? Again, I don't think he is, but I would love an updated spreadsheet. Is what I'm saying here.
Some sort of spreadsheet. Yeah, I get that. And like in theory, you could keep Joey, but I don't think that you can keep him on his current number. So yes, you could restructure his contract. But that just pushes more money to 2025 and makes him harder, you know, to keep around this year. So it's just, I'm not a fan of restructuring him. I think you essentially, you're choosing one or the other. And then, like you mentioned, you have Thule in the building ready to go. You know, he showed enough last year where he can be a starting caliber player. And I think that's where the team is at. I think you are just kind of moving on at this point in time. So I don't think this is like an indictment of Joey. And you know, I hear the people in the chat and things like that, but Jim Harbaugh would want good players on the team. I don't think it's an indictment of Joey and who he is as a player. It's really just a belief that, hey, like he's had 6 or 7 key injuries over the last 3 years, and it's a doubt of how healthy he can stay. So I think people are making him out to be a bigger like diva and villain than he actually is. This to me it's all about availability. Khalil Mack has not missed a single game, knock on wood, for the Chargers, and Joey has missed a lot. That's it,
yeah.
Like, period. And he's not a diva. Like, I hate to break it to you guys, but his teammates, his coaches all love him. He's not a diva. Like, I understand the helmet toss was not a good look from him, but anybody who acts like he doesn't want to be on the team, he's not a team player. You don't know. Like, his teammates and his players and his coaches love Joey Bosa, and anybody who is talking otherwise is making assumptions from a little moment where things got a little heated and he threw his helmet around. And I get it, it was a bad look, but you should not judge a person based off of one poor choice of moment in a heated game, in a playoff game.
Yeah, it's certainly become very personal with Joey. I think part of that is the role and how much money you're given and the expectations. I think fans get a bit more agitated when there's a lot more expectations, and the tantrum stuff, I guess. Part of it's definitely very political. I'm not going to get into any of that, but there is certainly an aspect of that that comes into play here where some do not necessarily have that same thing. So yeah, but it's, if they had the money, if they had the cap space to do it, he probably sticks around, because I genuinely believe that Jim Harbaugh goes, I can make this work, and let's 100%. Put him back in a particular defense that probably suits him more. You know, we forget that Joey had to switch to a 3-4 outside linebacker type, which is not really his thing. He had to do that for a defense that we can all agree now and say now is not very good. You know, not very good. Good position coaches working with him, but the defense overall was not great. That switch was not great.
No.
I the frustration on that playoff game seems very ref driven as well. I've heard that was very ref driven. Certain things were said to agitate Joey in that moment. So obviously not released just yet. So I'm not going to like pretend like he's off the team, but we'll miss him. I don't know if we'll get another video in this week. We'll see. But the news will drop pretty soon, whatever it does this week. And I wish him the best if they do choose to move on from him.
Yeah, I think, you know, we'll talk about Khalil here in a minute, but, you know, I wanted to, like, get this out there, and so I am updating the depth chart. I guess I could share my screen with this, huh? Yeah, let's do that. Okay, I'm going to make this bigger real quick. Live TV, folks, here we go. Shoot, I don't want to do that. This is what I want to do. I should have prepared for this. That's my mistake, but you know, it is what it is.
Go use the code GUILTY at prizepicks.com for $100 off. Oh,
Sorry. I have to change my settings. It's not happening. What I was going to say is I wanted to update the depth chart like as we go throughout the off season, and to show like really how many needs the Chargers do really have. And so I think you make the decision on Joey Bosa and you can fill a lot of those needs with that kind of money. So as it currently stands, your two main running backs are Gus Edwards and Isaiah Spiller. Your two main tight ends are Will Disley and Donald Parham. We just talked about the wide receivers, but offensive line, you're still missing a starting center. And I don't really know if you have a backup center because right now that's Brennan Hymus. Foster Sorrell is your swing tackle. Don't love that. You have one starting defensive tackle. You need two more. The only two linebackers on the roster currently are Deion Henley and Nick Neiman. So generally speaking, you need at least two more, probably three more. You don't have a starting slot and you don't have a starting corner opposite of Asante Samuel Jr. That's a lot of needs, man. You got a lot of needs to fill. And moving on from Joey Bosa, we'll be able to help you fill two, three, four other spots to be able to fill in the rest of this roster. So unfortunately, yeah, we'll see if they can get something for him via trade. Brad Spielberger tweeted out this morning that he thinks Joey's value is essentially like at an all-time low. So we'll see what happens there. I do kind of expect this to be a release. And I think also it just kind of keeps 2025 clean for a much more important offseason next year.
Yeah, I would agree there. All-time low, probably. Yeah, maybe. No, because even like last year, the previous year, you could have said, okay, heading into 2023, freak injury. But he did finish the season healthy. I finished, but he got back onto the field. So it's like, okay, here we go. Because he had the whole, you know, took a lot of time off, didn't build up the reps, didn't take the wear and tear. But now, yeah, he's another season of being injured. Unfortunate there.
Yeah, I think this is a good point from Frank, though. I think Bosa has been waiting for a coach like Harbaugh with a high bar who will hold everyone accountable.
Yeah.
I think that. I think Joey would love playing for Harbaugh, and I think Harbaugh would love to coach Joey. Unfortunately, the missed games are the missed games, and I just don't know how long of a career he has left.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Speaking of Khalil Mack, I shared some things in the Discord about Mr. Khalil Mack and his kind of decision and thought process this offseason. My understanding is that as soon as they hired Jim Harbaugh, Khalil Mack was 100% locked into playing the duration of his contract out for the Chargers. He was willing to do some cap work. I don't believe he's going to take a pay cut. He shouldn't take a pay cut. He deserves his money. But he's willing to work with the team in regards to his cap number and making that a lower cap number. He's very, very happy with the Chargers organization. He is willing to continue to play for the Chargers, whatever it takes. He loves working with Thule. He has a great relationship with Thule. He loves working with Derwin. He has a great relationship with Joey as well, but that's just not a feasible thing at this point. But basically, my understanding is that Khalil approached the team early in the offseason and said, whatever you want to do to my contract, go for it. But I want to be here. I want to play for Jim Harbaugh. I want to keep writing this thing out. And I think he also believes that there's some unfinished business here in being able to, you know, build a winning team with the Chargers. He really is that kind of mindset where he wants to see this thing out and be able to continue to build things. So he is a fantastic alpha leader of this defense, and Chargers fans should be very, very happy that he is sticking around. I was also told that if things go well, he would very much like to be on the Chargers in 2025 as well. So it was a great day for Khalil Mack. If you loved watching him as much as I did last year, you're very, very happy with him. And this is a great thing for the Chargers. Specifics about how much money this is going to free up have not been officially released. I think Daniel Popper tweeted out that it was potentially up to like $10 million. So once we have specifics there, we'll be able to talk about it, but it's definitely enough to sign three free agents. Although we can say that because the Chargers were barely cap compliant after releasing Mike Williams.
Yeah. So happy to have him back and happy to hear that there's some possibility of 2025 being a possibility. I don't know where else Khalil Mack could have gone. If they cut him, then sure, he could sign with, I don't know, the Chiefs or the 49ers or whatever.
Oh, my God.
But it's a 49ers. Yeah. It's a great, great situation here, especially for someone I really do like. You know, you talk about unfinished business. That's very much the Jim Harbaugh thing that he has with the NFL. Yeah. And he wants to bring the Chargers that Super Bowl. And I think Khalil Mack obviously feels the same way. And I'd argue no on the field is Justin Herbert, but no other player off the field, I think, has rallied the team together and brought the team together more than Khalil Mack. Yeah. Every story you hear, every time at the podium, every rep on the field, every dinner he's paid for. I mean, we've taken a Raider and he could retire a Charger. I mean, he's just... Yeah. Who else do you want? I mean, he's one of your four pillars on your team and one of the best players last year. Probably the best player last year because he's the only one who finished all of the games. So, yeah, this is awesome. I think he fits Harbaugh. Not that Joey doesn't, not that Mike doesn't, obviously, but he fits Harbaugh. Harbaugh fits him. And it's a pretty good defensive scheme. You know, we just saw his best year. What we just saw with McDonald and the Ravens, Van Noy and Clowney and Maivike and Queen and Smith and Everett have their best, and Hamilton have all their best years.
Yeah.
The notion that Khalil Mack could continue to build on this. And I mean, at this point, he should be gunning for defensive player of the year territory, which he kind of already was, but not a great defense. You're gunning for that this year and you're gunning for that Super Bowl. And so, yeah, him sticking around is awesome.
Yeah, so he's not going anywhere. I see people in the chat talking about this, but he's staying. Like he wants to finish his career with the Chargers, and I think that should make people really, really excited. Rex pointing out, Daniel Popper has released an article updating this. If you add the maximum of four void years, you can free up around $17.5 million. That's huge. That's a huge, huge deal. It's my understanding of like how void years work is that it's kind of a debate of like how much money do you really want to free up and how much dead cap do you want to take going forward? Because essentially you're like taking their bonuses and spreading it out across the period of time that you are putting. So 4 years would be $17.5 million of bonus money, but then you're taking those dead cap hits on across those 4 years, 2 years, 1 year, whatever the case may be. So it just is a matter of like how flexible do the Chargers want to be with this potential void year contract? Do you feel like you just need a little bit of relief and you do 2 years? Do you feel like you want the whole 17 and a half? So you do four. It's just a debate that they have to decide. It's the Chargers have never done void years ever since Ed McGuire has been around. Void years are kind of like a new trendy thing. They've never done it. the Ravens have very rarely done it. I think only on like Odell Beckham Jr. last year did they use void years. And I think there might be a couple other players here and there. So this is doing four void years would be very out of character, but it's $17.5 million of cap space that you could go use and go sign a defensive tackle, go sign a third pass rusher, like whatever you want to go do. $17.5 million is a lot of money that they could go sign some other players.
You got to do what you got to do. Last year, the idea that, okay, you know, maybe Keenan is gone or Mike is gone or Joey or Clue or whatever, they just restructured all four of them. I mean, that is something we had not seen before. And so for them to do, you know, whatever these void years are, is you got to do what you got to do. And I think that the good news is the cap keeps increasing. The contracts are very different heading into 2025. They have the freed up space. Whatever they want, go for it. I think it's very much so what the Eagles have been doing. And if you're copying the Eagles, well, Alex may disagree these days. But generally speaking, if you're copying the Eagles, you're doing a good thing.
Hey, man, the Eagles signed Saquon Barkley, and they almost got Jason Kelce to unretire. So I don't know. Maybe something right there. But yeah, man, I think the Khalil stuff is great news. He loves being with the Chargers. He wants to stay with the Chargers. And I think the interesting thing is, how do they go about supplementing the rest of this edge room? You have Chris Rumpf, obviously, who, I mean, he can't really defend the run, so I don't know if he fits this defense very well. So I think the Chargers will probably go out and make an edge three signing. The Ravens released Tyus Bowser. I think that makes perfect sense. Certainly not opposed to bringing back Kyle Van Noy. That's the kind of like edge three type that you're looking for. Maybe like a $3-4 million contract, like tops. You're not paying. Yeah, and there's really like nobody out there. Like Chase Young is still a free agent. That's not happening. You're talking about a guy who ideally you're trying to get like 30 pressures from. And Van Noy, Tyus Bowser, that would be fantastic there.
Yep.
So we've had some before we move on, any other thoughts about Mike, Joey, or Khalil?
Nope.
All right. Sounds good. So there's been some other movements. We did have an episode on the Chargers yesterday. Actually, the video came out today. Audio was yesterday, where we talked about Alohi Gilman, Gus Edwards, Will Disley, as well as Austin Eckler's departure. There's been some other departures, though, namely Gerald Everett and Kenneth Murray. I could not believe my eyes when I saw the Kenneth Murray contract. But thank you, Tennessee, for that, because it's netting the Chargers a potential sixth-round comp pick. I think if he hits his incentives, that could bump up to a fifth-round comp pick. What are your thoughts as Kenneth Murray is the Charger who gets the biggest contract out of any of their, you know, internal free agents?
Yeah, I definitely could not believe that one. You know, paying for players, and some people pay a lot of money, you call it an overpay for players. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
You know, the Jaguars did it a couple of years ago, and they have been doing it for certain players, but I didn't expect that. I mean, the Chargers were projected to get maybe a comp pick for Austin Eckler heading into this free agency period. And, you know, see what else they do, of course. But I didn't expect that contract. not for a team that, I mean, I guess it's a different coach, right? But they went out of their way last year to have someone pretend to be Kenneth Murray during practice before the Chargers game.
I forgot about that.
So they could go after him. Maybe. I don't know. He was also the green dot guy in that game. So maybe that's why. But I thought that was interesting. Different regime, though. I'm surprised that that was the contract he got. But great. And listen, for anyone who wonders if first-round bias is really a thing, that's definitely still a thing. Yeah. We saw with last year when Jerry Tillery got a more guarantees than Morgan Fox. Hey, cut by Tom Telesco twice now. And yeah. And now Kenneth Murray getting, I mean, it almost made me question, like, are we wrong? Like, do we undervalue like what he brought last year? Do we not understand? Did we miss something? I don't know.
Yeah.
And he did play better last year, don't get me wrong, but the deal that he got was definitely a surprise. I'm happy for him. Go get it. And if you're the team that figured, like, if Vrabel were there and they went, hey, here we go, you're going to put you in our defense, I'd say, honestly, Kenneth Murray might have a really good season. But, you know, we'll see what the regime changes. I wish him all the best.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame him at all. Like, go get your money 100%. I think that's a fantastic deal for him. as it currently stands, he, I think, is like top 15 in linebacker money. So that's fun. It's not official on Over the Cap, so I'm just kind of looking at this, you know, at a rough draft. So he's, what's his AAV at 7.5, right?
Yeah, then up to 9.
Okay, so right now he's right behind Dre Greenlaw in terms of AAV.
Oh no. I mean, you know, next guy up, right? But yeah. Well, I mean, just for starters, he's making more than Drew Tranquil and Kaiser White. Kaiser White had an old deal. Drew on this one. Yeah, man. But teach their own.
He's making more than Shaq Thompson, Alex Anzalone, Quincy Williams. Yeah. Yeah, that's
that. What did Willie Gay get? Like $3 million?
It was like three, but up to 5. So
still, man.
That's crazy. That's crazy to me.
But I'll take it. So with him and Gerald Everett, you get potentially a 5th and a 6th, or let's just call it 2 6ths for now. I didn't expect that. So the Chargers are in a pretty good spot right now. Again, cycle of comp picks. I'm having, honestly, doing mock drafts, I love getting to the day 3 now. I don't know everybody, but I love some of these 6th rounders. I genuinely feel that, whereas before, watching some of these guys felt like death, it's now actually fun to find some of these guys because of the way that college football has changed and eligibility, et cetera. So, yeah, it's so to have 2 more 6th rounders next year is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, anything helps. Like, we've talked about this.
Yeah.
This is what Joe Ortiz wants to do. We'll see if those contracts hold up. As it currently stands, the Gus Edwards and Austin Ekeler contracts are kind of a wash, but Austin Eckler's incentives, I think he has like $2 million worth of incentives on his contract for next year. So if Brian Robinson gets injured and Austin Eckler just becomes that guy again, then maybe he earns the Chargers a comp.
Yeah.
Well, so the Chargers also have to avoid overspending what they lose. So for those who don't know the comp pick formula, it's all about money coming in versus money coming out. As it currently stands, you know, you have the $15 to $18 million, the 7.5 AAV from Kenneth Murray going out, the $6 million AAV from Gerald Everett going out. But if they go out and sign a different linebacker to a $7 million contract, then that essentially becomes a wash and you don't gain a comp pick for that kind of deal. So the Chargers, I think with the Will Dissly thing, they showed like, hey, we're understanding of this. Obviously, this is Joe Ortiz's thing. So I think we will see them go out and target some players who were released from their previous teams as a way to ensure that they maintain these 2 comp picks and make sure that they protect them for next year's draft.
Worst case scenario, if you need a linebacker, see if you can convince Eric Kendricks to lead his second team.
I always thought it was weird he didn't first target Dallas because Mike Zimmer is the defensive coordinator. He's been with Mike Zimmer for like 7 years. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But the Chargers need a linebacker, man. It's not just a draft thing. I would very much not like to see them double dip at linebacker because they have a lot of other needs. But any potential veteran out there it's kind of a dried up market right now. You know, I tweeted this earlier. There's Zach Cunningham or Cody Barton. There is Jerome Baker from formerly of the Miami Dolphins who was cut by his team and would not count against the comp pick formula. So
that guy,
just that alone, that guy.
Yep.
But it's slim pickings at linebacker, man. And I don't know if I really want, like, I expected them to take some lumps and everything at linebacker, but I mean, it's rough out there right now.
I think it just might be the position that they go, we'll figure it out later.
Yeah.
I don't think that like Henley and Neiman is a god awful duo. I think it's more so an improving one that we haven't seen a ton from. Did like Neiman in flashes last year, but he's not a 250-pound thumper run stopper type. Not that you need to be, but like, you know, special teams covered sort of guy. Henley just started playing linebacker and didn't play much last year and was behind Neiman and Ogbonbumiga for most of the season, preseason, then he was hurt. So we don't know much about him. So I don't know if this really indicates like, oh, confidence in these players. They will say that they're confident in these players. But to me, Like, I did a mock draft this morning, and I got to the second round, and looking at all these really good receivers and corners, there's also Peyton Wilson and Junior Colson sitting right there. I don't love a linebacker in the second round.
Yeah.
I think they still have other needs they have to address. Like, literal bodies need to be out there in some positions.
Yeah.
But we need to start talking about that as a possibility as the second round, especially if they trade back and acquire another second. One of those twos might be a linebacker.
Yeah, if they trade down and they have three day two picks instead of two, I'm not opposed to taking a linebacker relatively early. 37 probably is a little too rich for me. I definitely would prefer a corner or a defensive tackle or a wide receiver if they go corner or edge or whatever in the first round. So it definitely is a need. It is going to be very interesting to see. Obviously, Junior Colson is the natural guy there, but you know, we think that they could take lumps at linebacker, but maybe Jesse Minter is like, hey man, like, I need a true linebacker one in here. Like, let's go draft one on day two. And that could change things. So anything is on the table with this new regime. Like, I think anybody who's speaking in absolutes and about the draft right now is fooling themselves, because we don't know.
Yeah.
Like, we have no idea how much say Jesse Minter has, what kind of style Joe Ortiz prefers for the Chargers. Like, everything is new going forward. So it is going to be really interesting to see how they go about fixing this position, because they need multiple bodies. You need special teams guys. You need, you know, depth behind. You need a potential starter. So you probably are getting, you know, four new linebackers to the room with, if you count undrafted free agents as well. And it's going to look very, very different from this past season and the year before that.
Yeah, very different. Luckily, I'm so good with Ficken. But yeah, linebacker, I don't know. We'll see how they address it. How much of the Ravens and how they've invested is the Ravens and how they currently are as their organization, and how much of it is Joe Ortiz, and does he care the same philosophies?
Yeah. So Frank says, wait, day two is supposed to be for wide receiver, center, running back, corner. Yeah.
Got a few needs, huh?
A few needs to fill. So, you know, that 17.5 from some void years might free up a lot of stuff here. Okay, was there anything else that we had hit on tonight?
Not necessarily. We could talk Gerald Everett. Obviously, like, miss him, wish him all the best. He was awesome. Totally would have gotten if they retained him. Understand why they didn't. Doesn't quite fit. Might indicate what the Chargers are looking for in the draft or moving forward. Disley, not a tight end one, but they needed that blocker. Everett was not that. Contracts were pretty similar, or at least in terms of annual. So they clearly prioritized the blocker over the receiver. But Everett was awesome. Like, he's genuinely a player I'm going to miss, even though he's only here for 2 years.
Yeah, I think I did not love the way that Kellen Moore used him. I think there was a lot of meat left on the bone there, especially after all the injuries. And it was like, why is Gerald Everett getting two targets when Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are hurt, or Josh Palmer and Mike Williams are hurt? It never made any sense to me. So he's a good player. He's obviously reuniting with his former offensive coordinator from Seattle in Chicago, and it's a great fit. You know, Cole Kmet can do all the dirty work stuff. He can focus on what he does well. You know, I always appreciated, like, the one catch, and then he would just go try to run everybody over. It was a lot of fun. But essentially, if you look at this as like a trade and you're getting Will Disley and a 6th round pick for Gerald Everett, I think obviously you take that. So
I
expect them to add a tight end as well, because currently you have Disley and Donald Parham and Stone Smart, which I don't know how much of a better room that is than last year's. So they got to add another body to that room. I think you can live with Donald Parham as your tight end three, but as the tight end two, I think we've obviously seen that story before. So whether that's a guy who can be more of like an H-back type deal, I think they will probably look towards the middle rounds of the draft to add that, you know, future tight end one, hopefully.
Yeah, I just think they're taking their tight end one at 5. So that has not changed for me this whole time. So
I would not be opposed.
I think that's what they're doing. I know it's the unpopular thing among Chargers fans to draft the greatest tight end prospect, but I think they're going to do it. I think stylistically they've shown that that's kind of where they might lean, or offensive tackle. They got a blocking tight end, a 240-pound running back. Not that, you know, these are $20 million signings by any means, but
yeah,
I just feel like they're going to fit a theme. They're going to. Alex Katzen said it perfect. You know, we beg the Chargers for an identity. Jim Harbaugh goes, well, how about this one? And Chargers fans go, no, that one. And so I really genuinely do believe it's still Brock Bowers at 5.
All right. All right. I will be a very happy man if that is ultimately a choice. If they can trade down and still take Bowers, even better. But yeah, mm-hmm. You know, Gerald Everett, I think it's going to be a good fit for him in Chicago. Wish him well. You know, not everybody gets that wish, but he does for sure. Couple super chats here. Our guy Nathan says, excited for the future, whatever it looks like. So appreciate him for the super chat. And then Gabriel had a super sticker. Appreciate him as well. Sick LT jersey in the thumbnail there. And then Ryan B, do you think we extend Keenan? If so, when do you think we see this happen? So this is another avenue that the Chargers can pull from if they want to be a little bit more aggressive in free agency. And I think this is a move that would make a lot of sense for all parties here. So the specifics depend on the structure of the contract, but if they really wanted to be aggressive with this extension, they could free up to $17 million for extending Keenan Allen. Again, that depends exactly how they structure things. But if you push more money into the future, you free up cap space is kind of the general sense here. They could do the same kind of thing at void years if they don't want to extend him fully. But we've been on the same page that we would like to see Keenan get an extension. I think it makes the most sense for all parties here.
Yeah, don't walk in and go, hey, Herbert, we're going to get rid of Keenan Allen. I think you're going to give him more years and work with it. Because Keenan, sure, like a casual fan will notice that he missed the games last year. He would have missed games. He also would have probably played at the end of the season if there was something to play for. Right. And if his quarterback were healthy and the regime were completely blowing up at that point. So, yeah, I extension is fine by me. I think you should retire a Charger. Let him pass Antonio Gates. If all things go well, keep him around, obviously, because I would not have emotionally been ready for that departure.
No.
That is basically, it's not my entire fandom, but it's like my entire like conscious fandom of really following the Chargers has been with Keenan Allen, and I'm not ready for that one. So thanks, Chargers. Like I need some more time to really prepare for that one.
Yeah, and I think his game will continue to age well, right? And he's never been a guy that's like relied on being the fastest or being the most explosive or most physical. It's always been, you know, I'm just smarter than you. I'm more technical than you. I want it more than you. Like, he's a guy who can continue to play well into his 30s, in my opinion. Like, there was all the like trade stuff this week, and like, you know, Pete, like I saw the Steelers beat writer tweet like, oh, the Steelers should trade for Keenan Allen. The Patriots beat writer, they should trade for Keenan Allen. And their opposing fans are like, he's too old, he's too washed. I'm like, he's like, you're showing that you don't know ball by saying that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
He was a top five receiver when he was in, when he had his heel injury. He was top five, like unanimously in every statistic. So he's a guy that I think you'd 100% keep around. I think he's still playing at a really high level. And I think he still could play at a really high level for at least this year and next year. And then he can kind of do the whole Larry Fitzgerald thing where he kind of pivots into like a wide receiver two role and then like a wide receiver three role. And he just like sticks around, and he's still a fantastic blocker. We've seen that time and time again. So Jim Harbaugh is going to love the way that he blocks and runs routes and everything like that. So I can't imagine why you would even consider moving on from Keenan Allen. And I'm very grateful, like Tyler said, that the Chargers decided that that was the right decision for Keenan Allen and this team going forward.
I agree.
So should be fun. I think timeline here, I don't think they have to rush it because they're going to do the Khalil restructure first, and then they will do Joey. So they could easily extend Keenan like in the summer and then go out and sign some summer free agents and things like that, like the Ravens did last year with Clowney, with Van Noy, with Darby. And I think that's kind of my timeline here. I think if it wasn't like the first thing, I think it becomes a summer thing, if that makes sense.
Do you think that, I guess it doesn't necessarily matter, but do you feel that if it is actually an extension, you should get it done before the draft in the off chance, or maybe you don't, but I think Keenan want to get it done before the draft, because if Marvin Harrison Jr. falls to five, I'm not saying move on from Keenan Allen next year, but like,
yeah,
you do like pause for a moment and go, well, you know, we have a lot of decisions to make.
I think Keenan's camp could be certainly incentivized to do it before the draft. And you could do the same thing, right? Like, so you extend him before the draft, and then after the draft, you go sign those other free agents. You don't have to wait.
Yeah.
Until summer. Yeah. I guess I hadn't thought of that, but you know, those 45 minutes when we were all convinced that Joe Alt was going to be the Cardinals was that was fun.
Best 45 minutes of my life, dude. That was the greatest thing ever. So then I saw, like, oh, they're cutting DJ Humphries. Never been so excited. But once again, the Cardinals give me a little bit of hope and they let me down. Thanks a lot, Cardinals. Yeah. I officially hate them.
Yeah, they are dead to me.
They are dead to me. The Arizona Cardinals, man.
The Raiders and the Broncos, Cardinals, right under those two.
Yeah, no, at this point, above for me. You know, like, the Patriots are no longer their big dynasty, so I can't hate them. So I got it's the Cardinals. Yeah. That's my, yeah.
Matt
Prater, call it a cardinal sin for no reason.
Matt Prater, officially my least favorite kicker of all time. Not Nate Kading, not Adam Vinatieri, Matt Prater.
Yeah, Matt Prater. I don't remember the last time he even kicked against the Chargers. And we all hate him.
He's just that guy that, you know, 10 years from now when Marvin Harrison Jr. is just like bodying the Chargers.
Yeah. Team,
we're gonna fuck you, Matt Prater.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll be, you know, 50 years old and we'll just be on here. Like, someone ask us a question. We'll be like, what moment would you want to reverse? And like, it's now Matt Prater's kick. That's, yeah.
Kevin says Marlon McCree, Nate Kading, and the AZ Cardinals. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds about right. There's a couple other names, but I'll leave them out.
Yeah. A few other names in there for sure. For sure. Oh man, what a good way to end the show. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that one. All right, guys, appreciate you for tuning in. If you're listening to this, make sure to leave us a rating review. If you're watching, make sure to subscribe, like, comment, tell a friend, all that good stuff really does continue to help the show. Hopefully you go use our Prize Picks link and can go win yourself some money as you continue to watch the NBA as well as college basketball. And hopefully you guys have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. As always, bolt up.